Let us turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And we're going to read today just a couple of verses. And I assign you to read the rest at home. Psalm 136. And we're going to begin in verse 1. As soon as I find it. I usually have that marked, but today I've got my little burgundy ribbon someplace else. How many of you have a little burgundy ribbon in your Bible that you can put? Well, I didn't put mine in the right place. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Didn't we just get through singing that? I wonder why. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his love endures forever. And it just keeps going. For his love endures forever. For his love endures forever. Wow, it just never stops. Perhaps that's part of the message here in Psalm 136. Because each verse ends, his love endures forever. Get the point? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that your love does not ever give up on us. We thank you that you are good and your love endures forever. Lord, during this sermon, please capture our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts to see how much you love us. Change our hearts and help us to be thankful to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, have been looking at the Psalms, we've been having this theme of thank God for God. You know, people will say, thank the Lord. But how often do we thank the Lord for the Lord? Thank God for God. And we have learned that our soul, S-O-L-E, souls, S-O-U-L-S, that our soul's desire is for satisfaction from God. We may think it is for a person. We may think it's for a place or a thing. If only I had that person, if you're single. If you're married, hopefully you're not saying, if only I could get rid of that person. Some folk trying to get rid of what they have. Same thing goes with, if only I had this physical thing, it gets old, and see, who can I give it to next? Right? And others want what you have. If it's a place, if only I lived over there. And then you got an earthquake over there, and you wish you weren't there. Right? Or a fire. See, we're never satisfied. For only God can satisfy us, and therefore we thank God for God being our soul satisfaction. We've had Thanksgiving, and we're stuffed, right? It's about time for y'all to get rid of that stuffing. You can't keep it too long, right? It'll go bad. But you're stuffed with turkey. How many of you are still eating turkey? Right? You had turkey sandwiches, right? You had turkey soup, right? And now you're just getting them little pieces of turkey to the left, and you got turkey chips when you heat it up, all right? But that couldn't fill you for what you really need. And we talked about having an attitude of gratitude and how it changes our attitude. Remember what we said? Maybe you can fill in the blanks. Our attitude is determined, our attitude and our altitude go together, right? Do you remember the relationship? Our attitude determines our altitude, and our altitude, what? It's determined by our what? G word, gratitude. The more gracious and more thankful and grateful you are to God, the better your attitude is. Really? You ever feel yourself getting down? Just start thanking the Lord. Just start thinking about all he's done for you and all that he is for you. Now, Psalm 136 I believe also focuses on our hearts. It's great to have right doctrine. That's very important. It's also good to have a right way to live. Theology and praxeology. You practice what you know. You live what you believe. But God wants our worship to come to another level. And that other level is that he wants our hearts. He wants the affections of our hearts. You say, Pastor, what is the heart? Well, when you look through the Bible, the Bible gives definitions to it in several pieces. The heart in the Bible, though, is the compilation of our emotions, our feelings. It is composed of our mind, our will, our conscience even. And it does much more. Our heart also thinks, decides, and senses right from wrong. All of that is in Scripture. It's not just, you know, something you feel with, something you think with, something you decide with, the determination you have. And Jesus in Matthew 22 told us what the great commandment was, right? And is to love God with all of your heart, all your mind and soul. All of that's part of the heart. In other words, everything that you are from the inside out is how we are to love God. And it involves affections. It's just not a cold thing. Because you're not just that way. You even put on long johns as we come into the winter, right? God wants a warmth, an affection, a fuego in Spanish, a fire towards him. It's not just, oh yeah, God, you said that, you know, I'll try to obey. No! Love me with all your heart. Everything that makes you up. Now, what do you want for Christmas? Huh? What is it that you just got to have? They'll advertise things as on a meter and it says, I must have. Right? What do you want for Christmas? Now be for real for me. Were you really thinking about all I want for Christmas is Jesus? How many of you, don't raise your hand, in your mind, all I want for Christmas? Your husband may ask you, you know, your wife may ask you, you may ask the kids, what do you want for Christmas? How many of you say, well, no, son, no, Dad, no, Mom, all I really want for Christmas is Jesus. How many of you can raise your hand? In all honesty, that's the answer that you gave. God wants our hearts as a must-have. A must-have. That you'd rather have Jesus than anything. Even that car that I just learned about last week, a Bugatti, a boot, something with a B. You ever have a Bugatti, a Bugatti? How do you pronounce that? Help me here, somebody. Huh? A Bugatti. I didn't know they had a Bugatti. So you'd be getting your Bugatti. All right? But how many would rather have Jesus? Now you can be honest. Come on. Now they'd say, okay, I'd rather have Jesus. Ask God to change your heart's desire for him. And number two, thank God for God. He is good. And he is love. Thank God for God, for he is good and he is love. That's what I get out of these verses, first two verses. Give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That he in his essential nature, he is good. And that his love endures forever. It won't quit on you. That's what you want. See, that toy, that phone, whatever, has got a battery in it, right? It's got, you know, how many of you have ever had to get new batteries for your phone? Well, some people maybe in the listening audience have. You don't need no new battery with Jesus. He's not ever ready. He is everything. Everything that you need him to be. And he wants us to thank God for God. He is good. And he is loving. His love never ends. And see, when you thank God for God, guess what happens? Your attitude changes. You desire. That's how advertisement works. They put before you. That's why Super Bowl ads are so expensive. It's how many times they can put that product in front of you. Because the more it is in front of you, the more you want it. We need to put the Lord before us. We need to thank Him continually. We need to think about how good He is. We need to think about the fact that His love endures forever. And thank Him. Thank you, Lord, that Your love endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that You're good. And guess what happens? It changes your attitude. You rise in your altitude. And you are able to fellowship with Him. For God inhabits, the scripture says, the praises of His people. But if we're complaining as if God does not exist, if we're complaining as if God is not good and that His love has run out on you, then you're not going to experience the power of the Lord. But if you praise Him and thank Him for being God, a God of love and a God who's good, you will experience the power of the Lord. We covered a little bit of that last week. I just want to repeat it to remind us. See, God blesses us. You know why He blesses you? Think about it. Oh, so that I can have what I want. Well, that's part of it. He likes to give you good things. But He gives you good things so that you can see how good He is. He blesses you, see, so that it will rebound or redound to Him. See, the blessings come down from above, but they're not to just to stay down here. They're supposed to redound back to Him. We have lights on in this chapel. See that light? God inhabits and clothes Himself in the majesty of light. But the light, if you took the light and just became enamored with the light, oh, look at this light. Oh, it's wonderful light. And you never lift your head to see where the light comes from. As I lift my head and point my finger to the light that's in this ceiling, I am now more enamored and value that light bulb and the power that goes through it than this reflection I see. Are you with me? The blessings of God are like His light. But we are to go and turn in thanksgiving to the light giver. Are you with me? The source of that light. We sang earlier, think about it, one of the songs we sang earlier in this service. Name that tune very quickly that relates to what I'm saying right now. A few seconds to think about it. What? Give me a help me here. Huh? No. Fount of every blessing. You know what a fount is? You go out to the water machine and you turn the knob, it becomes a fountain, right? Now, the fountain brings the water you just enjoy. What's the source of that water? That water machine. What's the source of your blessing? Come thou fount of every blessing. Are you going to be enamored? What's more valuable? The 8 ounces you just drank? Or the, you know, seemingly unending source of water that's out there, right? When you tap into it. I'd rather have the fount than the blessing. What about you? But we get all enamored in the blessing. Oh, look what God's given. And that's fine. Look what God's given me. But all give thanks to the Lord. That's what it says in verse 1, verse 2. And all throughout these many verses, through verse 26, starts out, oh, give thanks to the Lord. What's your blessing? What is the blessing? I think it's the Lord. Anything else that you become enamored with, your new shoes that you're getting for Christmas, your two front teeth, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Well, sometimes, you know, when you get old like me, you wish you could. Unless you're into the implants, I ain't going with that route. All right? What do you really want? Ask God to give you a heart. I'm going to say this several times today. Ask God to give you a heart that yearns for Him. And what is the heart? It is your mind. It is your soul. It is your emotions. It is what you think with, sense with. It is your innermost being. We don't, I don't, always yearn for God, I must confess. Sometimes I stop and say, what's wrong with me? Anybody been there? That's why David said, because if you get in that state, you're going to go down. Psalm 42. He said, oh, my soul, what's wrong with you? Why are you so downcast within me? Put your hope, put your faith in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord, and you will yet praise Him. Oh, I better move on. But I think you're getting it. Every good. What did James say in James chapter 1? Every what? Good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, who's enclosed in the majesty of light, and there's no shadow, just light, or turning. You can depend on Him. He's not going to turn His back on you with Him. Thank God for God that He is good and that His love won't run out on you. Your love never ends and never runs out on me. Right? Don't we sing that? See, we got to just stop singing songs and sing them. So what's the difference? Sing it with your whole heart. Sing with your whole mind, your whole being, your thoughts, your passion. See, that's what God wants. He says, these people worship me with their lips, with their mouths. They mouth this, they mouth that. But their heart is far from me. And in case you're just thinking about blood pressure, and the beat of the heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm dramatizing it. The heart is the seat of everything you are. With my whole heart, I will worship you, David said. Oh, my soul, worship the Lord. Thank God for God. He's good, and He's always love. What is the greatest thing? Faith? Is hope the greatest thing? Hope's going to end. Once God comes back and He fulfills all of His promises, you don't have to hope no more. Faith will end. You don't even have to believe anymore. Amen? That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, but the greatest of these is what? Love. The greatest of these is love. He will always love you. See, God captured David's heart. He's called a man after God's own heart. Even after he messed up, God didn't run out on him. Right? He messed up big time. And he saw that God was good. David wrote in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whom sins the Lord will not count against him. Psalm 32. That's love. After you've messed up, at your worst, He's still good towards you. Wow. Wow. That's a blessing. Blessed. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in just what He gives you, but Him, because that's how He is. He's forgiving. He's merciful. We sang, or listened to a song during the offering from Psalm 34. What did it say? Taste. That walnut pie, that pumpkin pie. Can you just think about it? Can you just think about how good that pecan or that pumpkin pie was? It's good, right? No comparison. That was just a blessing from the great source. If the pie that he created, you know, all the ingredients and all of that, and gave whoever cooked it the strength to do it, if that was good, how much gooder? How much gooder is the creator of that pie and the one who blessed you with the means to buy the ingredients? How much gooder is he? So you tasted the pie. Well, once you taste the creator of the pie, the provider of the pie, and you will see that he is good. Taste means experience it. Don't just sniff it. It's good to smell. But let your whole being get involved there with the taste buds and the sensing of the smells. Ah, God is better than that. Thank God for God blessing us with himself. You just stop saying, God, I just thank you for you. Because without you, I would not be and nothing would be. And thank you for you. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for loving me. See, that's, to me, is real thanksgiving. And God draws us to himself by his essential nature of goodness and love. That's what he used to draw you. That's what he used to call you. You may not have articulated it in the way that I am giving it to you. But you know what Paul wrote in Romans 2 and verse 4? Now, let's read it. Let's not rely on our memories. In Romans chapter 2, it speaks of the nature of God and its effects upon us. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? His riches of his kindness, his tolerance. Oh, how the Lord just puts up with us. And patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. That his kindness and the kindness that is revealed in the gospel, that God sent his only beloved Son, that whoever believes should not perish. He so loved not just the world, but it was personal. See, we'll read John 3 and say, oh, God so loved the world, yeah, blah, blah, blah. No, it's got to be personal. It's got to affect our soul. It's got to affect our heart. He so loved me. He's my personal Savior. That he gave his Son. And the kindness, that kindness I saw, see, that love in God leads me to repentance, leads me to him, that he would die for me, and that he was raised from the dead, and that he lives in me. And now I can live in resurrection power to even let life out this sermon. I can't do it unless it was because of his goodness and because of his long suffering. See, being gracious to God and thanking God for being the good and loving God that he is to save us. That's what draws us. That's what drew us and continues to draw us. Thanking God for his goodness and his love changes our hearts, changes our attitudes. You remember those lepers? What lepers? Well, let's turn to Luke 17 and read about them. There were how many lepers? I don't know. Take a guess. There were 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, let's begin reading. This is about thanking God forgot. Luke 17, verse 11. Now on his way, on Jesus' way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. That was not the shortest route. It's interesting, all of the Samaritans in Jesus' discourse, there are several. There's this leper. There's the woman at the well. There's the Good Samaritan. Sometimes I ought to just go through, maybe you ought to do an assignment, and go through the Gospels, all four of them, and see how many times Jesus talked about and used a Samaritan as an example. And he went into one of those countries where most Jews would not go. We ain't going over there with them folks. They live on the other side of the tracks. They're from one of those, you know what countries. I ain't going over there. I mean, they really looked at them people as dogs. Really? The Jews called them dogs. Verse 12. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance. Why did they stand at a distance? Now, number one, they had leprosy. And they were unclean. Number two, they were Samaritans. And Samaritans and Jews did not socialize together. So they stood at a distance, but they called out in a loud voice. Now, there was one Samaritan, though. It appears that the other nine were Jews. And he called out in a loud voice. They did. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Where are the others? The other nine were Jews. They didn't come back. You say, how do you know they were Jews? They didn't come back. You see, that's a great leap, Pastor. The reason is because of the contrast. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Why do you have to bring that out? See, he makes a point of it. This is not a Jewish person. He was a Samaritan because they looked down on Samaritans. Now watch this. He's the only one who came back, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. Thank God, for he is good, and he is loving. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Now notice he differentiates. Samaritan and a farmer. I didn't say farmer plowing corn. Somebody strange. Somebody from another country. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Look at that. Look at that. Let me tell you something. This man's heart was right. How do I know that? He praised God. He praised God with his whole heart. He fell at Jesus' feet. That falling on one's face is giving honor to the great high God. This man no doubt recognized Jesus as God. For in the scripture, when you see someone falling down, they say, oh no, don't fall at our feet. We're men like you. Or we're an angel. Only God is to be worshipped. He recognized who he is. Do we recognize who he is? Do we thank God for being God, full of love, and who is good? I think this is a powerful illustration to us. And he says, faith. Do you know how you are able to come into the presence of God and to experience him? It is through trust. I believe that we experience God wholly when we trust him wholly. I'm not talking about H-O-L-Y. I'm talking about W-H-O-L-E. And then however you put the Y on it. With your whole heart, you trust him. It is by grace through faith that we're saved. I also believe that it is by grace through faith we're able to experience God. Psalm 73, very quickly. Very quickly. Psalm 73, verse 24. Here the writer, Asaph, says this in verse 24. It says, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? God was his soul, S-O-L-E. Soul, S-O-U-L, satisfaction. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. Soul, soul, satisfaction. God is good and God is loving. That's what's most important. Earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. His supply, his inheritance, and what he hopes to inherit. When he talks about portion, it's speaking Levitically. They had no inheritance in the land. The Lord was their portion. Is God your inheritance? What are you hoping to inherit? Something your folks leave you? Or God? Something this world can give you? It can't give it to you. But God is the strength of my heart. Notice how he talks about his heart. And my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I think through trusting God wholly, we come near to him. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds. I will boast in you. I will praise you in every way. Give God your heart. That's what he wants. And now you see, that's a lot, isn't it? Your heart is your emotions, your mind, your will, your everything. Give that to him. Just cast yourself on the Lord. What more can you give him? He wants that heart. It's not just your works. Your works come from your heart. I want us to listen to a song. A song that I hope will be recorded on this sermon. You say, well, Pastor, we haven't had a Christmas song in the program today. Well, you're going to get one right now. You know, it is said that a little child will lead them. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Lord. I want you to listen to a little child. And I want you to listen to what that little child sings, and let, you can sing along with it. Please sing along with this song. Let's play it. It's entitled, well, you get the title.
What can I give him? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd sure do my part. So what can I give him? I'll give him my heart. I'll give him.
Said, amen. What more can I say? What more can I say? Father, we thank you for being God, our God. We thank you for being good. We thank you that your love never fails. It just keeps on going and going. We thank you for giving us your heart. It is apparent through all the scriptures that you have given us your heart in Jesus. Father, if there are any listening to this message who have not received your heart by faith, open their hearts now. Change their hearts. Let them yearn for you. And fill their hearts with yourself. Give them the faith to believe. And those who do believe, help us to surrender our minds, our will, our emotion, our affections, our soul, our conscience, everything to you. Thank you for this great blessing. We just thank you and we praise you for being God. Amen.